Joycelyn Finley and her brother Carlos Finley both grew up in Mobile, Alabama, surrounded by their father's involvement in the civil rights movement. In this StoryCorps piece, they talk about their father's influence on the community and how his activism in Mobile led to his eventual incarceration.
Joycelyn, when was the first time that you ever can remember Mom and Dad talking about getting involved in the civil rights movement?
The first time was when I just walked past them. They didn't know I was there. They were talking to each other. And Daddy looked at Mama and he said they had a burning last night. And I remember her expression was very shocking. And he said, yes, they were over at Sage Avenue Park.
And they were referring to a cross burning?
I knew. I knew it was a cross burning because he looked concerned, but he had more of a determination in his face. Mama looked scared. And it was because he wanted to move forward, but Mama was resistant because she was enjoying their lifestyle, which was a very middle-class lifestyle, going to the balls, and she didn't want to give that up.
What is your first remembrance of a civil rights activity once the neighborhood organized workers were established, as Daddy being the vice president?
My first would be going to the meeting, the NOW meeting, the neighborhood organized workers meeting. And everyone in the community, it felt like, because the room was packed and there were people overflowing outside too, they would come to hear what is going on, what do we need to do, tell us what we need to know.
Now, it's been documented that the marches had a huge impact on the movement and on economic gain here in the city of Mobile, and that all of that came to a screeching halt, however, when criminal charges were brought against our father. Tell us about that.
It was horrible because it was such a travesty, and it was done in order to make sure that they made them political prisoners to turn the public against them. He ended up getting a 24-month, I think, sentence for income tax evasion for not paying his child care provider.
And when they sent our father away, they sent him to Steilacoom, Washington, as far away from the city of Mobile as one can possibly get. And you had to step up as a 17-year-old and handle the business that was our family's.
I knew I had to take care of Mama, and I had to take care of that store, because if anything happened, he would need something to come back to. So the worst part for me was when Daddy did get out of prison and came back home. I had moved and was no longer here because I had married when Daddy came out of prison. But he went to the drugstore because it had been a break-in. And that was the morning that he had the heart attack and died in the store. I questioned if someone had taken my father's life because of his involvement in the movement.
Till this day, no one knows who the last person was to see our father. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Thank you for talking to me today, my sister. You have shed light on many questions that I've had for many years.
Thank you, my brother.
I love you.
I love you.
These interviews were recorded at StoryCorps, StoryCorps.org, a national initiative to record and collect stories of everyday people. Excerpts were selected and produced by Alabama Public Radio and sponsored by the Porch Band of Creek Indians.